Ever feel like you've read the same passage like 100 times?
Yeah.
And you're still missing something.
Totally.
Like there's this whole other layer of meaning
mm-hmm.
just below the surface.
And I know exactly what you mean.
Well, today.
Yeah.
We're diving into Dr. David Bauer's lecture notes on inductive Bible study.
Oh, cool.
We're going to equip ourselves with the tools to unearth those hidden insights.
Okay.
Think of it like detective work.
All right.
But for scripture.
So, like, we're going to be scripture detectives.
Exactly.
I like it.
One of the things that Dr. Bauer really emphasizes is precision.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just, like, grasp the general idea.
Uh-huh.
He wants us to hone in
right.
on the specific, unique contribution mm. that each passage makes
okay.
to the grand narrative of the Bible.
That makes sense.
So why is this level of precision so important?
Mm.
I mean, isn't getting the overall message enough?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Not according to Dr. Bauer.
Okay.
He says that precision is key to unlocking both accuracy
okay.
and originality in our interpretation. So if we're too general, our understanding becomes like a blurry photograph.
Okay.
You can kind of make out the subject,
uh-huh.
but the details are fuzzy.
Yeah.
But when we're super specific,
yeah.
we bring those details into sharp focus,
okay.
revealing depths that we might otherwise miss.
He uses this really powerful analogy too.
Oh, yeah.
Says it's about finding the meaning
mm-hmm.
so specific to this passage
okay.
that the entire Bible would be poorer without it.
Wow. That's a pretty high bar.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a high bar.
Yeah.
But I think that it really pushes us
yeah.
beyond surface level understanding.
Right.
And it challenges us to really unearth mm-hmm. those nuggets of truth
okay.
that add something unique and irreplaceable yeah. to the entire tapestry of scripture. You know what I mean?
That reminds me of something else that Dr. Bauer emphasizes.
What's that?
He says that the better we understand something,
the mm-hmm. more clearly we can communicate it.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, really?
It seems counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Wouldn't deep study
right.
make things harder to explain?
You would think so, right.
Yeah.
But he firmly believes
okay.
that deep understanding
mm-hmm.
leads to clearer communication.
So interesting.
He even tells this really fascinating anecdote.
Oh, I love a good anecdote.
About one of his own professors,
okay.
Dr. Ralph Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And Thompson studied under a renowned scholar,
okay.
Howard Tillman Kist.
Oh, right.
And he described a lecture where Kist
yeah.
so powerfully unpacked the book of Jeremiah
mm-hmm.
that the entire classroom was left speechless.
Really?
For half an hour.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. They must have been completely floored.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that idea of recreating the revelatory experience.
Oh, yeah.
To the biblical author.
Right.
So we're not just passively reading words,
mm-hmm.
but trying to tap into that yeah. same spark of divine inspiration.
And Dr. Bauer is clear.
Yeah.
That the excitement should stem from the scripture itself.
Right.
Not from some charismatic speaker
uh-huh.
trying to hype things up.
Yeah.
The text,
okay.
when truly understood,
mm-hmm.
speaks for itself.
It does.
All right. So how do we actually get to this level
okay.
of deep transformative understanding?
Oh.
You know?
Dr. Bauer lays out 3 key levels of observation.
Right.
First, viewing the book as a whole.
Okay.
Then understanding individual parts as complete units.
Okay.
And finally, zeroing in on specific passages.
Right.
With laser focus.
I like that laser focus.
This approach actually mirrors the structure of the Bible itself.
Okay.
So we're essentially working in harmony
mm-hmm.
with the author's blueprint.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
of analyzing a specific passage.
Okay.
We need to understand the neighborhood it lives in.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
That's where the book survey comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He breaks this process down into 6 phases.
Okay.
Starting with identifying the type of material within mm-hmm. the book.
Okay.
He calls these the general materials.
All right.
And he outlines 4 main types.
Okay.
Now you might think
yeah.
identifying the type of material is a simple,
right.
maybe even obvious step.
Yeah.
But Dr. Bauer reveals some surprising insights here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Well, take the book of Job.
Okay.
Most people immediately associate it
yeah.
with the theme of suffering.
Right.
But Dr. Bauer argues that it's not fundamentally a biography
okay.
about Job's personal experiences.
So it's not a biographical book.
Right.
Then what is it?
He classifies Job as primarily ideological.
Ideological, okay.
It's about exploring profound theological questions.
Okay.
Using Job's story as a vehicle
mm-hmm.
to grapple with concepts of righteousness,
okay,
justice, and God's sovereignty.
That's a really interesting perspective.
Yeah.
It makes you think about the book in a whole new light.
It does.
It does.
And this is precisely why Dr. Bauer stresses the importance of identifying the general material, because it guides our interpretation.
Okay.
If we approach Job expecting a straightforward biography,
yeah,
we'll miss the deeper theological questions woven into the narrative.
So besides ideological and biographical, what are the other two general materials?
We have historical, which focuses on history.
Okay.
A good example is Psalm 78, which retells God's dealings with Israel.
Okay.
And then there's geographical, where the emphasis is on specific places.
Right.
Think of books like Joshua, centered on the conquest and division of Canaan, or Exodus, which is deeply tied to Mount Sinai, and the journey through the wilderness.
Okay, so let's say we've identified the primary general material of a book.
Right.
What's next?
Dr. Bauer then encourages us
to
examine the specific materials, which involves giving each chapter a brief descriptive title.
Ah, so like a little cheat sheet to help us remember the key takeaways from each chapter.
But there's more to it than that.
Not really.
He's very specific about how these titles should be constructed.
Okay.
They need to be brief, unique to each chapter, simple, and most importantly, personal.
Personal, okay.
He even offers this fascinating insight.
Oh, yeah.
He says these chapter titles can actually spark connections and insights.
Really?
Even when you're away from the text.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Well, because the titles are personalized and capture the essence of each chapter.
Right.
They allow you to mentally walk through the book.
Okay.
Even without having it physically in front of you.
So I could be, say, out for a run.
Yeah.
And suddenly have an aha moment.
Exactly.
About how two chapters in Exodus relate to each other.
That's the idea.
All thanks to my clever chapter titles.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It makes Bible study feel less like a chore.
Right.
And more like an ongoing conversation.
I love that.
It's about engaging with the text on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Letting those insights emerge organically.
Okay. So we've tackled general and specific materials.
Yeah.
What's the next adventure?
Now we get to the heart of it.
Okay.
The structure of the book.
All right.
Dr. Bauer emphasizes two components.
Mm-hmm.
The linear progression.
Okay.
Which is identifying the main units and subunits.
Right.
And then something called major structural relationships.
Interesting.
Which reveal how different elements in the book connect and interact. It's like understanding the underlying architecture of the text.
So it's not just about following the storyline from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But understanding how those points are woven together.
Exactly.
How they speak to each other on a deeper level.
It's about seeing the intricate tapestry, not just the individual threads.
I like that.
And Dr. Bauer argues that this is where things get really exciting.
Oh, really?
Because these structural relationships often yield the most profound insights.
Okay.
He even calls this the center of book surveys.
Right.
So we really want to take our time here.
Okay. I'm ready to put on my architect's hat.
Okay.
Let's start with the linear progression.
Okay.
How do we go about identifying the main units and subunits of a book?
Think of it like creating an outline.
Okay.
Breaking the text down into its natural divisions. It's like chapters within chapters.
Okay.
We're looking for shifts in topic, natural breaks, where the author moves from one point to the next.
So we're not just relying on the chapter and verse divisions we see in our Bibles.
Right.
But trying to understand the author's own flow of thought.
Precisely. We're trying to get inside the author's mind.
Okay.
See the book the way they intended it to be seen.
Okay.
And Dr. Bauer points out that identifying the general material we talked about earlier can actually give us clues about this linear progression.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if a book is historical, the main units might be determined by key events.
Right.
If it's biographical, we might look for turning points in a person's life.
Exactly.
And once we've identified the main units, we can break those down further into subunits.
Mm-hmm.
Creating an even more detailed roadmap of the book structure.
Right.
Wow. This is starting to feel like real detective work.
Yeah.
Piecing together clues to understand the author's blueprint.
I like it.
But honestly, wouldn't this make the Bible feel less like a source of inspiration?
Hmm.
And more like a textbook to be dissected?
It might seem that way at first, But I think it's actually the opposite.
Really?
By understanding the structure,
yeah,
we gain a deeper appreciation for the artistry and intentionality of the text.
Okay.
We see how individual passages contribute to the overall message, how themes are developed and interwoven.
Okay.
It's like discovering a hidden layer of beauty and complexity.
Okay. I'm starting to see how powerful this can be.
Yeah.
But what about those major structural relationships?
Yeah.
That's the part that really makes my head spin.
I hear you.
Yeah.
It can feel a bit daunting.
Yeah.
Dr. Bauer explains that these relationships are essentially organizational systems that reveal how different elements within a book dynamically relate to one another.
Yep.
It's about seeing how parts of the text interact.
Yeah.
How they comment on or contrast with each other.
So it's not just a linear progression.
Right.
But this multidimensional web of connections.
Yes. It's like seeing the book as a living organism with all these interconnected parts working together.
Interesting.
Now, Dr. Bauer offers several helpful tools for identifying these relationships.
Okay.
But one of the most fascinating is the concept of chiasm.
Chiasm. That sounds a little intimidating.
It might sound complicated.
Okay.
But it's actually quite elegant.
Okay.
A chiasm is a literary structure where elements are presented in an ABBA pattern.
So it's like a mirror image.
You got it.
Where ideas or events are reflected back on each other.
And this mirroring effect can be incredibly powerful.
Okay.
Highlighting key themes and creating emphasis.
All right.
One of the most famous examples is Psalm 1.
Oh, I love Psalm 1.
Yeah.
It's so simple yet profound.
Exactly. And the chiastic structure actually amplifies that profundity.
Really?
Let's take a closer look.
Okay. Walk me through it.
The psalm begins with, "Blessed is the man."
Okay.
This is our A element.
Right.
Focusing on the blessedness of the righteous.
Right. And then it goes on to describe what the righteous man doesn't do.
Exactly. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners.
Right.
These are our B elements.
Okay.
Highlighting the negative actions the righteous man avoids.
And then it comes back to the positive right.
Yes. The song concludes with, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord."
Right.
This brings us back to the A element.
Right.
The blessedness that comes from meditating on God's word.
Right.
So we have this beautiful ABBA structure.
It's like a perfectly balanced scale.
I see it. It's like the outer elements emphasize the positive aspects of righteousness, while the inner elements highlight the negative behaviors to avoid.
Yes.
This structure really drives home the contrast between those who follow God's path and those who don't.
Precisely. The chiasm isn't just a fancy literary device.
That's right.
It reinforces the central message of the psalm.
Okay.
The blessings that flow from aligning our lives with God's word.
This is blowing my mind. I never realized there was so much intentionality.
Yeah.
So much deliberate structure woven into the Bible.
And that's just one example.
Wow.
Chiasm appears throughout scripture.
Really?
Both on small scales, like in Psalm 1.
Okay.
And across entire books.
Wow.
It's one of the many ways the biblical authors use structure.
Okay.
To convey meaning and create impact.
So besides chiasm.
Yeah.
What are some other structural relationships we should be looking for?
Another key one is called inclusio.
Inclusio.
Okay.
It's where a passage begins and ends with similar phrases or ideas.
So it's like a framing device.
Exactly.
Drawing attention to the material within those bookends.
And this can be incredibly helpful for pinpointing the author's main point.
Okay.
By identifying the repeated phrases or concepts, we can often discern the key message they're trying to convey.
Wait, could you give me a concrete example of inclusio?
Sure.
I'm having trouble picturing it.
Think about the book of Ephesians.
Okay.
It begins with this beautiful declaration of God's plan.
Okay.
To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
Okay.
And then right at the end of the book, Paul circles back to this idea.
Okay.
Urging the Ephesians to stand firm in the Lord, being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
Ah, I see it.
Yeah.
Both passages emphasize the theme of unity and strength found in Christ.
Uh-huh.
It's like Paul is wrapping the entire book around this central message.
Precisely. By recognizing this inclusio, we gain a deeper understanding of Paul's purpose in writing Ephesians.
Okay.
He wants to equip believers to stand firm in their faith, united in Christ amidst the challenges of the world.
This is incredible. I'm starting to see how understanding these structural relationships can really unlock a whole new dimension of meaning in the Bible.
I agree.
It's like suddenly seeing things in 3D.
It is. And that's the beauty of Dr. Bauer's inductive approach.
Yeah.
It's not about forcing our own ideas onto the text,
right,
but about discovering the inherent meaning that's already there,
mm-hmm,
waiting to be unearthed.
But with all these tools and techniques, it's easy to get caught up in the technical details.
Yeah.
What does all this mean for someone who's simply trying to understand the Bible better and live a more meaningful life?
That's a great question. I think it gets to the heart of why this deep dive matters.
Yep.
These relationships aren't just abstract literary devices.
Mm.
They serve a purpose. They help us grasp the author's intended meaning.
Okay.
Those subtle nuances and connections we might otherwise miss.
So it's not just about becoming literary scholars.
Not at all. It's about drawing closer to God through a deeper understanding of his word.
Mm-hmm.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
yeah,
we're not studying the Bible for intellectual stimulation.
Right.
We're seeking transformation.
Right.
These structural insights can be powerful catalysts for that transformation.
It's like you said earlier,
yeah,
the more precisely we understand something, mm-hmm, the more clearly we can communicate it.
Right.
And the more deeply we understand God's word,
yeah,
the more powerfully it can transform our lives.
Exactly. It's about taking those insights we glean from the text,
okay,
and allowing them to shape our thoughts, our actions, our very beings.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive.
Yeah.
I feel like I've only just scratched the surface.
Well, there's always more to discover.
Right.
More layers to unravel.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong journey of exploration and discovery.
Well, I'm definitely inspired to keep digging.
Good.
I'm actually thinking about trying out some of these techniques on my own.
Oh.
Maybe tackle a book I've always struggled with.
Which book are you thinking about?
That's a tough one. Maybe Ecclesiastes?
Oh.
It's always felt a bit enigmatic to me.
That's a great choice.
Yeah.
It's a book that often gets misinterpreted.
Okay.
But by applying these principles of observation and structural analysis, I think you'll uncover a depth of meaning that might surprise you.
I can't wait to get started.
Me too.
But before we wrap up,
yeah,
I want to make sure we give our listeners some practical advice.
Okay.
What would you say to someone who's feeling inspired to embark on their own deep dive, but doesn't know where to begin?
Start with prayer.
Huh?
Ask God for guidance and illumination as you approach his word.
Mm.
Then choose a book that speaks to you.
Okay.
One that sparked your curiosity.
Yeah.
Don't feel pressure to tackle something overly complex right away.
Okay. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to start small and work your way up.
Exactly. And remember, it's a journey, not a race.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time, savor the process, and be open to what God wants to reveal to you.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
And I would add,
yeah,
don't be intimidated by these new tools and techniques.
Right.
Just jump in and start experimenting.
Yeah.
You might be surprised by what you uncover.
Absolutely. And don't forget to share your insights with others as we learn and grow together.
Yeah.
Our understanding of God's word becomes even richer and more profound.
So for anyone listening who's feeling inspired to embark on their own deep dive,
yeah,
we want to hear from you.
Yes.
Which book of the Bible are you thinking of exploring and why?
I'm curious to know.
Let us know in the comments. And if you were to pick one book of the Bible for a deep dive using these techniques, which would you choose and why?
That's a good question.
We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments.
Let us know.
Be sure to check out Dr. Bauer's lectures, too.
Yeah, those are great.
We'll link those in the show notes.
Okay, perfect.
Until next time.
Yes.
Happy diving.
Happy diving.